kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
My bank account hurts.
Why? What'd you do?
I bought a bunch of clothes today.
Clothes? You went out and you bought clothes and not video games?
Yes, and it was with friends.
Was it peer pressure?
They made me... Basically, yeah. I wound up spending $220 on stuff.
Dang.
Got fun a really stuff. Nice pair of shoes, though.
Oh, man. As you could tell by that third voice hanging around, we have a special guest joining us this episode. Returning to the show, Jesse Radonsky of Evolve PR. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
Did you spend a lot of money today, too?
I didn't spend any money today, except for, on the typical daily caffeinated drinks.
caffeine. Hey, I hate coffee.
It's still early on the West Coast. You have plenty of time to go out and buy some clothes.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's true. What is it, like 7:30 over there?
Yep, just past that.
Yeah, so, time. Nice. Time zones are, they're a thing.
They're fun. They're fun to figure out. Especially when you don't know which one is which, Joe.
Yeah, true. I mean, like, are you stuck in the Midwest area of where your time zones don't change, or
no?
We're just both East Coast. He's making reference to the fact that recently we've had a bunch of European interviews getting set up, and they'll tell me one time GMT without mentioning the fact that they have daylight saving time over there, so their actual time is like an hour off from what they told me. Because GMT and their local time are not the same right now.
Weird.
So hooray. Yeah.
But really stupid.
Well, welcome back to the show. You were last on in the 150s, I think, somewhere around there. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit. I've moved to a different place. I was like, man, it's been a long time. I can actually pinpoint it in a time frame based off of where I was living at the time. So, still living in Portland, just in a different area. So
how is it out there?
It's really nice. Yeah, it's great around here. We were even before we started the show, we were talking about how hot it is here. But generally, it's pretty temperate climate. You know, I work with a bunch of people who are all based in different areas of the United States and in Canada. A lot of them in Canada, but they're all based across the provinces in Canada as well. And hearing them say, like, you know, it's a lightning storm right now, or there's my power is probably going to go out. I usually never have to worry about that. So that's how boring the weather is around here.
Instead, you have to deal with 104 degree temperature.
It happens.
That is insane. I think it was like high 80s today, and I'm just like, fuck all of this. I hate the heat. I hate it so much.
Yeah, I hate it. I'd be happy if it was between 40 and 60 every day, just for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I like it a little bit chilly, but I don't want it to be fucking freezing either. I don't want it to be like in the 20s with snow, but unless it's Christmas, then there better be fucking snow on the ground, or I'm pissed.
Oh, not anymore. Not these days.
I know. Damn global warming that apparently isn't real.
It's weird. It's like our winters seem to be getting worse, but they start later. I don't get it.
Yeah, now they don't end until like the end of March, early April.
Pretty soon it'll be like Australia, where like you have your Christmas in the summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been joking that maybe the Earth is just, you know, starting to tilt one way a bit too much. And that's why it's throwing the seasons off. Who knows? It's weird.
That'd be awesome if that was actually the case. Just tilting a little bit.
Thanks, Obama.
I was going to say, have you seen all the people on the internet? There's a lot of big heads. Maybe we're weighing it down right now.
Maybe.
Maybe North Korea is going to drop enough bombs to tilt it back.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's joke about that. So when it happens, in, you know, 100 years from now, people, civilization will resume and they'll jump on YouTube and find the SML podcast and listen to us joking about it.
And they're like, damn, if only they knew.
This historical record of the SML podcast.
We called it first.
Oh, man. So, Jesse, you're still at Evolve, yes?
Yeah.
How are things going there? What's up? What's new with Evolve?
It's going pretty well. You know, we've been developing this other site called Terminals, that's sort of a feat of its own, and it's kind of taken on a life of its own. But, it's generally just we've grown our team a lot, and we're all working on different projects and having fun talking about games. We have a pretty laid back atmosphere. We have, like, we're all on Slack and we're all based in different areas of North America. So generally it's a lot of just talking about what games we're playing, what music we're listening to, whatever random stuff. There are certain channels that I don't even join. There's a board game channel that there are a few team members that we have that are like all about the board games. And so we're like, you need to take this conversation to a board game channel.
We're tired of hearing about Monopoly already.
Oh, if only it was about Monopoly. No.
It's like Dungeons and Dragons.
There's some crazy board games out there.
Yeah, my colleague Christoph he just moved to a new place and set up his new shelf, and he has like a wall divider that's just made up out of board games.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. It would be very easy to knock over.
He just sits there. I'm pretty sure he just sits on Kickstarter all day and looks at board games and nerds out. And that's awesome, man. Everybody needs to have.
Does he actually ever play them?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he has board game weekends where a bunch of friends come over and then they just drink whiskey and play board games.
See, that sounds like a hell of a lot of fun, though.
That does.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you get to Monopoly and then you hate them.
Well, I think they always end with Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, that's how to do it.
You kind of have like a palate cleanser after all that.
That's true. And make then all your friends love you again because you're funny.
Yeah, and you're sufficiently liquored up at that point. So
everything's even 10 times funnier.
Hopefully.
Oh, man. Drunk Cards Against Humanity. I wonder how offensive those parties get near the end with cards.
What's Shrouded? Dark Micah's on fire says planning to play Shrouded tonight.
Oh, the Shrouded Isle. Dark Micah is actually doing some reviews for us, and that's one of the games that she's going to be covering. It's on Steam. It just released, I think, tomorrow. Okay. It's out?
I wasn't sure if we were going into board game chat all of a sudden. I was like, oh.
No, I think she just dropped by and was like, hey, this is what I'm doing tonight. So
nice.
Playing a bunch of stuff tonight. I've been playing way too much lately. What have you been playing?
I've been playing catch up on the backlog. So, and then like every time I seem to be trying to catch up on the backlog, then I purchase a game as well. So it's like I catch up on a back one, then I purchase another one. So
add another one to the backlog. That way you have an endless feed of backlog games to play.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the game that never ends.
See, right this minute I'm playing, I don't know how to say it. Is it Wise or is it Ease?
Ease.
Wise? Ease? Ease,
yep.
Ease the Oath of Fel'Ghana.
Oh, nice.
On Steam. And then just finished The End Is Nigh. Got a lot of the tumors, but not all of them. And I was like, I'll go back into the challenge stages at some point, but yeah, at some point, like, you have to... I felt like I had to take a break from it.
How is The End and I? Or The End Is Nigh?
I actually enjoyed it a little bit more. I'm probably going to be one of those people that is, like, on the outliers of... I enjoyed it a little bit more than Super Meat Boy. And I think it's mostly just because of how it basically doesn't let you do a wall jump. And so everything is based off of... hanging off certain things and doing, like, you have to be super accurate with basically climbing onto a corner and then jumping off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a big pain in the butt, but there are certain things that are a little bit more easier to pull off than like trying to depend on a fan to blow you up onto another ledge or something like that. Use other mechanics. So I think it's nice.
I was watching someone stream it, and it looked like a lot of fun. I know it's I think it's coming to the Switch this year, isn't it?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, they have the Binding of Isaac, the whatever the latest version on Switch already. So
yeah,
the Afterbirth Plus thing, I think.
Yeah, I love Binding of Isaac. That was one of those that's like I got for free off of PlayStation Plus. Mm-hmm. And played so much of it that I felt like I needed to buy a t-shirt and do something else to support the developer. And so it's so good. That's no big surprise to me.
Anybody that plays the game, they look at it immediately. They're like, okay, what's the big draw? Why are people putting this much time into it? And then they play it themselves and it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. And then they wind up spending like I know I think Shiz has like 250 hours in it.
Something ridiculous.
And he started off like, oh, this is kind of cool. And now it's like, oh my God, this is one of my favorite games of all time.
And it just keeps growing and getting bigger and bigger. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool game. It's fucking weird.
I bought it for my Switch just because I just needed, like, the next time I go traveling, it'll be like a nice little travel game.
So you have a Switch?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it?
I enjoy it. I mean, I've been looking for a handheld like that for a long time. I think the only handheld that could probably do better right now would be if I had like a true, you know, if Steam took all of that money that they put into making that Steam controller and just made a Switch-like device that works for most of the games on Steam. And I know there are like versions of that out there, but like an actual like decent one, I feel like I would have easily bought that, but maybe Switch will be that.
Maybe. I'm really digging it so far. A lot of good stuff coming out for it too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly going between my consoles and the PC and the Switch, so I mean, I don't spend too much time with each thing. I just kind of meander between whatever game I actually want to play next. So,
do you have a ADD with video games?
No, I try not to. But I wake up really early in the morning and then I just start. I'm one of those early morning video game players. So some people play video games way late into the night. I'm one of those people that like, wakes up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning and then I'll play video games for like, 2 or 3 hours before I start the day.
So you're playing against the people who are about to go to sleep.
Yeah, it helps sometimes.
It does. I mean, you can wake up, get some coffee in you, and be fresh, whereas they're starting to get droopy-eyed and like, I need to go to bed. You can kind of destroy them.
Yeah. Definitely.
We found your secret.
I switched back and forth before I had a job. Now I'm just a late-night player because that's when I have time. But before then, I was like, I would have schedules that could... Within a week, I could go from sleeping at 9 p.m. to, like, 5 a.m., and then by the end of the week, I could be going to bed at, like, 4 a.m. and waking up at 1 p.m. It was all over the place for me.
Yeah, I think that the best thing about early morning gaming is it, like, totally gets you, like, gets your mind, like, active. And especially like if you're waking up with some caffeine or something like that, you don't need it, but like if you're having like your morning coffee or something, then sitting there and like you're actually engaging with something, and then when you go to work, you're not starting off slow. You're like, let's get started, let's do this.
See, the problem for me is that I don't like that interruption of like, well, I'm playing a game, oh, now I got to get off and do something, and then I can resume when I get back. I like to be able to, once I get into the game in the relaxing mode of playing a game, I want to be able to play that game until I want to get off, like go to bed or do something.
True. That is a rough part.
I mean, it depends what game you're playing too. Like, if it's not really a story game, if it's a multiplayer game, like I would do that before school, like a few years ago. I would just play a couple of matches of Call of Duty before go to school, because I was like 13 or 14, and that's what I used to do. Call of Duty used to be my favorite game.
Both years ago.
That's so funny, Joe.
But, oh, man. Hey, once I'm insinuating that you're only 14 instead of 12. So you should be excited about that.
Dude, I'm turning 19 next week.
Ooh, holy shit, you're so old, CJ. Hey.
Like I used to say, I'm legal.
You're gonna have to like take a drive up to Windsor.
I need to get my license this month.
Just get a friend to drive you, man.
Yeah.
When I moved to Indiana when I was 18, and then but I was just about to turn 19. When I turned 19, we drove from Indianapolis up to Windsor, Canada. And of course, it was a little easier at that point because this was like I'm old, so this is before 9/11, so it was kind of easy to get in and out of Canada. But take the trip, man. It's fun.
Oh yeah, if I could get like some time off of work, like I have been off the past 4 days, past 3 days, and then today is the fourth. It's been really nice. I didn't get scheduled. Well, I got scheduled for today, but wound up finding somebody to switch shifts with. So now I work Monday.
Oh, so you just gamed? Oh no, you went shopping today. But you gamed the past 3 days, right?
Nope, not that much.
Really?
Nope.
What the hell did you do with yourself?
I did play a little bit of games. Like I played a couple hours of Black Ops 2 with an old friend, which was really fun. We did some zombies, not multiplayer, because I'm not into the multiplayer anymore. I'm shit at it too, and there's tons of hackers. It ruins it. I also played some Minecraft. I played some Fortnite. I tried out Slime Rancher again. That was fun. I got a lot of achievements as soon as I started it because I had played the trial.
Oh, nice.
Pretty cool. Which is the first achievements I've earned. Well, this week I earned achievements in that and Fortnite, and that's like it for the past 2 weeks. But
so weird.
I don't know. I've been doing a lot of music shit, really. Like, getting into music. I want to learn how to create music. I might take a course on that in college.
Nice. What kind of music?
I'm thinking, like, digital music.
Yeah, like
just digital music.
No, I mean like, you know, the digital genre. Sound. Like, the digital sound, though. Like, you know, like, you have people that play it all the time on the show, Joe. Like, 8-bit music, stuff like that.
Oh, like, okay. Chip tunes, like electronic, chip techno, industrial,
electronic, techno, chip tunes, like whatever. Just point is,
digital dubstep. Doesn't really dubstep help at all.
Right now, I love dubstep.
I've been into this genre called lo-fi hip hop, which is sort of like, I mean, it's sort of like, I guess it'd be sort of like jazztronic ish with a little bit of hip hop thrown in.
Yeah, I want some lyrics in it too. I don't want to just leave it as beat only.
Yeah, I think Draftage is awesome. If you haven't heard of Draftage, he's really cool.
That sounds pretty cool. I haven't heard any of it. You should tweet it at me. Tweet me your favorite song.
Yeah, he did a live set and then did like, I believe he did like some Final Fantasy tracks live.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. And everybody was like, oh shit.
Nice. I wouldn't recognize the Final Fantasies because as Joe knows, I'm a distinct hater of the Final Fantasy series.
Yeah, he's
not really a hater because I don't actively go on and attack it. I just don't enjoy it. So
No, you're a hater.
Oh, fucking Dark Mika mentioning Nightcore. Ugh, gross. Please.
What is Nightcore?
I don't even know what Nightcore is.
It's basically the modification of regular music except sped up and then adding more to it.
So it's like the opposite of happy hardcore?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
It's basically speeding it up to make it sound like women are singing it instead, with the beat being faster and shit.
Huh.
It's a very anime like thing to do. Like, well, every picture of Nightcore is anime.
So, like, you can get nerd out on music just the same as you can nerd out on video games. It's like, oh, I only play these types of, like, walking simulators that have, like, a real feel to them. Nah, sorry, I only play first-person shooters.
You said the musician you like is Giraffage?
Yeah.
Do they have an album coming out called Too Real?
Yeah. Yeah, it's only one guy.
This might be the greatest website I've seen in a long time. Oh my lord. It's like straight out of the late 90s. There's a fucking Bonzi Buddies hanging out in the corner.
Jesus.
This website is incredible.
What the hell?
Oh wow, this is really good.
That's some straight GeoCities stuff going on.
And even your mouse cursor is just a crosshair. It's like
the explosions.
Awesome.
Oh my lord. This is amazing.
It feels like it was made in like in just like paint or something.
Yeah, I'm bookmarking this. I have to check this out later on tonight.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
What kind of music is it?
It's sort of like I'd say like chill electronic with some sort of hip hop influence to it.
Hmm.
Hip hop and like the style of the beat. So the timing of the beat.
I am very intrigued now. Very intrigued.
I'll have to hear a song by them.
I will definitely have to check that out later on. Man, that website is incredible. I can't get over this. I can't get over this website. Bonzi Buddy being in the corner is probably the greatest thing. Like, was the last time you heard of Bonzi Buddy?
I've never heard of Bonzi Buddy.
That little purple dude in the corner, you never saw him before?
I don't think so.
Even I think I recognize it. I don't actually know the name of it, but I've seen it before.
Man. I guess I'm just too old.
I didn't spend a lot of time on Angel Fire websites back in the day, though. So.
Now you're going to have to link this in the link dub.
Oh, my lord. Jeez. Yeah, I might have to include a link to the website in the description with all the other links.
It's a great name, too.
Oh,
Drafish.
My God. It really is. I have such high expectations now. I hope it's really good because, like, between the website and you talking them up, like, expectations are high.
Yeah.
Just the artwork spinning.
Now he's like, I really hope they like it or they're going to judge.
I can't help it. It's just how I am. Oh, man. So, So what's going on with Evolve? What kind of games have you been representing lately, and what good is coming out? What should we be paying attention to?
Man, it's always hard to remember some of this because we all work on different projects by ourselves. We have like our research team, and we have some other people who do video and social media. So there's a little bit of crossover, but as far as like what types of video games we're all working on. It's hard to tell until we see sort of everything in motion. But I'm working on this game called Extinction with it's from Iron Galaxy and Maximum Games, and everybody's kind of calling it like the Attack on Titan sort of clone or something like that. But I don't know, from what I've seen of it so far. I think that there's probably a little bit more to it than that, but it's just really early in development. So what you've seen is what you can assume at this point. I feel like when I was working on Dead Cells, and before Dead Cells came out, everybody was just like, "Oh, so it's a Metroidvania Souls like? It's like throw every word into it, blah blah blah." And everybody was dismissing it, but then once everybody started playing it, they were like, oh, okay, I get why this game's actually really cool. So it's one of those things where you describe a game a certain way, and then you show what you can, and then if people like it, then they like it, and if they don't, then they're just gonna criticize it until they play it themselves, I suppose.
Yeah, you mentioned Extinction. I've had my eye on that one. That one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I got. I went down to their offices and got to play a little bit of it. It feels pretty nice so far, especially so early in development. I mean, I play a lot of games early in development, and some of them you're like, "Wow, this is really rough," and it's really rough for a reason, right? It's so early in development, it's like barely playable at that point. But that one felt pretty nice, and it was like I felt like I got the controls pretty quickly. If you ever played Sunset Overdrive, it kind of feels a lot like that with like how you.
I think you piqued my interest a little bit more.
That's how I was. Just that's how I was
one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like that, and how you would like run up a wall, bounce off of it, or jump off of the wall, and then like hit a tree, and bounce off of that. So everything is like it's meant to keep you up in the air, and then there's obviously the killing of the giants and like the giant ogres and
Like, honestly, you mentioned the name Extinction, and I just spent the entire last 5 minutes trying to remember what that game was, because I knew I'd heard of it before, but I couldn't remember. Okay.
Well, if only someone would drop a link to the trailers in the chat or something, right?
I mean, I can't watch those and be on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's the one that's being developed by the Killer Instinct team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, yes. Okay, I know
dive,
what this...
Divekick and Killer Instinct, and they've done, like, supports and stuff like that, so... they're doing it in conjunction with Maximum Games. So one of the executive producers at Maximum Games, he has like a lot of experience in the fighting game community, and so he kind of came up with this idea in conjunction with them, and it was like, "What if we just roll with this?" And they're like, "Yeah, that sounds good." So, and a lot of like this that I'm talking about is sort of like, "Well, we have this game about these giant monsters, and we don't want to turn everything into like a quick time event. So what if we have these giant monsters and then we have to like chop off the limbs?" And then there's a lot of game balance changes that are based around that. But it sounds like it's gonna be a pretty cool game, but it's still really early, so even I never get to see as much as people like on the development team. I only get to see what they offer me.
Seems really cool though.
Aside from that, I'm working a little bit with the people from Tailworlds Entertainment on the Mountain Blade series, on Mountain Blade Bannerlord. So we worked with them a little bit for E3, and then doing the same thing for Gamescom right now. And what else? Gwent.
Still, oh man, I can't wait for Gwent. It's still in preview, though, isn't it?
It's in open beta right now, so yeah. you can technically download it if you want.
Is there any idea of when that's going to be hitting full release at all?
I think they've announced any dates for full release at this point. I think they're still going through, like, you know, obviously they went from closed beta to open beta, and. Yeah, I think they're just still continuing to balance the game and use everybody who's in the open beta now to balance the game. And they have a lot of dedication to it, so it sounds like you know the balancing is happening. But obviously they're doing like they're going to Gamescom and they're doing a small open tournament there with like a $25,000 prize. Really isn't huge when it comes to esports prizes, but it's just another way to get people involved. And heck, you can't go to a PAX and win a portion of $25,000 all the time. So
yeah, seriously.
Yeah,
I mean, $25,000 isn't chump change either. I mean,
I'd happily take it.
I'd love to win that.
Yeah.
if the winner doesn't really want it, he can just have my address and come over and give it to me.
Yeah. At this point, I think I'd be happy to win like $25.
$25 and a Snickers bar.
Yeah, I don't need the $1,000 on there. It'd be nice, but I'd be good with just $25.
I'll take $2.50.
Yeah, and then otherwise, I think it's like my colleague Brian is working on Fortnite right now.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Earlier, I was playing that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that one later on in the show. That's one of the games of that we're reviewing. Yeah,
nice. I know absolutely little from him. I only know any sort of feedback from the other podcasts I listen to, like the Giant Bomb podcast. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not as cool as the Giant Bomb guys.
I have like two podcasts that I've always listened to, and then all of my other podcasts are things like Stuff You Should Know and a horror movie podcast. And gotta spend my time wisely.
Jeez. You gotta broaden your horizon. You can't just listen to only gaming podcasts.
Yeah.
I like listening to the Edge and Christian podcast of awesomeness or whatever they called it.
I don't know that one.
Wrestling.
Is that still going?
I think so. I haven't listened in a few weeks, but I enjoy what I listen to at least.
I haven't checked it out, but I know that they were, even though I'm not that into wrestling anymore, I loved their chemistry. They're funny, so it could be a good time still to listen to it.
I like wrestling. I gotta watch my soaps every week.
Yeah,
basically at this point, that's what it is.
It's just part of my life now. I wouldn't know what to do if it stopped. I'd be like, well, it's Monday night. Well, what the hell do I do now?
I don't think you have to worry about that. They have plenty of money.
Just stare at a wall because wrestling ended. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my life anymore. There's wearing a wrestling shirt right now. I mean, hell.
Well, isn't that like half your wardrobe anyway?
Probably more than half, actually.
Dang. That's funny. Sounds like somebody needs to go clothes shopping.
Yeah, you should come with me. Spend $220.
See, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to go clothes shopping because I'm what the kids call a fat ass.
So, oh, don't worry. I know that struggle. I've been going to the gym a lot lately. I finally made it to a size that stores actually carry.
I wear big shirts. Like I'm wearing a 5XL and WWE sells 5XLs, and when they when they do stuff like $10 shirts, damn right I'm gonna stock up and order like 5 or 6 of them in one shot.
Yeah, that's smart.
I love those deals.
I didn't know that they did that deal either. That's pretty cheap for a shirt.
Yeah, it's not often, but every now and then you'll see like even buy one get one frees are really good. I mean they're $25 shirts normally, so if you're getting them for $12.50 a pop. Hell yeah,
that's
man.
That's not bad. Yeah, exactly. Damn, I didn't realize. Was it just the old stuff, or is this like any stock?
Oh God, I don't know. Whatever sales going on at the time, they have different sales every week. So
I mean, that's pretty cool, though. I mean, I probably wouldn't invest in it now, but back like last year when I was really into it, that would have been a huge deal to me.
And they're comfortable shirts. I like them. So. I might just switch over to just getting all cat-related shirts and just embrace the fact that I'm a crazy cat lady. So
now this is going to sound super Portland, but there's like a cidery here in Portland called Reverend Nat's Hard Cider, and they have one of their people who work there. They started this thing called Cat Shirt Friday. And she would wear a new cat shirt every Friday, and then created a big event out of it. And everybody who came to the event was wearing their own cat shirts. And then she was auctioning off, or like basically just selling off all of her cat shirts that she had, like all of her past cat shirts that she wore. And all of the money was going to a local like cat adoption shelter.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then they had like a bunch of other prizes donated from other places, and all of that money was going to the shelter as well. So it was pretty cool. It was like a weird mixture of like cats and alcohol and and a lot of people who are all just like, you know, really stoked to wear their cat shirt somewhere.
That's a pretty solid mix. Cats and alcohol.
There are a lot of cat shirts out there.
There are a fuck ton of cat shirts.
I don't know if they sell 5XLs, but you should check out society6.com. That's a pretty good like, it's like an art website, but they sell t-shirts on there, and like and they have lots of cat shirts on there.
Nice. There's some sellers on Amazon who have some weird ass cat shirts and larger sizes, and the one I have is like, it would normally be like a Kraken attacking a ship in the ocean, but it's a giant cat instead. So it's like the kitty Kraken.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Me and my wife both got that at the same time, so we'll just wear it together and go out places. It's fun to get looks. And then just like 2 weeks ago or something, I saw one on Amazon that was, if you don't talk to your cat about catnip, who will?
Nice. That's pretty funny. I remember when you sent me the link to the Kitty Kraken thing because you first found it. Or you were just talking about it on the show or something, and you were like, oh my god, everybody has to see this, and you brought it up on the stream.
There's some good ones. Like, they have a cat in place of King Kong. They have, like...
Yeah, I remember you showed that one.
Like, a cat in space with, like, rainbows. And just really, really fucked up shirts, and I love them. Yeah. I want to buy them all.
I think one of my friends has that actually as a picture on his wall. it's like a kitten in space, and it's shooting like rainbows out of his eyes or something.
Yeah,
he's got like a little space helmet on.
I don't think I own any cat shirts.
Yeah,
I only have four cats now.
Get your shit together, CJ.
I have that cat shirt that you've probably seen before. That's like all the cats that makes a skull.
I've never seen that before. That sounds awesome.
All right. It's like super badass. You see it from far. It's like, oh man,
that's,
look at that
super
guy. He's wearing like a skull shirt. Oh, this guy must be so mean. And then you get closer and you see that they're all fluffy kittens that make the skull. And it's like, oh, that's so cute.
It's like you have a hardened shell, but on the inside, you're a good person.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god. I think I found it on Amazon and they have it in 5XL.
Yeah. there are like multiple versions of it. So,
well, I found one that's on Amazon and available in 5XL.
Oh my god, that's a really cool one. Actually, that looks way more like a skull than I even anticipated.
It's not mine, but it looks pretty much exactly the same. It was funny because I went to that party and there was a woman wearing the same shirt but with different cats on it, and so then we had like a bonding moment.
Oh my lord.
Also, damn, they have a huge color selection, so you can go with pretty much any color you would want.
They really do. Good lord.
Cat too.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I have Potato on my desk, and now she jumps down, because she'll just do that in the middle of my show. She'll jump on my desk, knock shit over, stare out the window for like 5 seconds, and then decide, I'm jumping back off the desk. She's nice. A pain in my ass.
My cat has not learned to jump on the desk. I think she's polite like that. But she'll come up and she'll stand up on two legs and then tap me on the arm. And when I'm home by myself working and I have like headphones on, I'm just concentrating, that tap on the arm is like the scariest thing in the world.
Oh, man. Thankfully, like, I never really get surprised attacked because there's a little walkway to my side that I could see the cats coming out of the peripheral vision. So none of them just, like, surprise jump on my back or anything. That would freak me the hell out. Oh, man. Cats are insane.
Yeah, I have, like, two kittens now. We got them, like, a couple months ago, and they are so rambunctious and knock literally everything over. They're so annoying. And my cat just stares at them pissed off and annoyed. She has resting bitch face, so it looks like she just hates them every time she sees them. It's hilarious.
Good stuff. Cats are insane.
They are cute, though. I do like them.
Yeah. My favorite is, like, every time we like take off for the weekend, we'll come home and she'll be like, I'm just fine. and I couldn't do that with the dog.
So. No, they'll lose their mind if you're gone for like more than half a day.
Yeah.
But they love you so much when you come home, and when you're gone for a week or something and you come back and the cats see you, they're just like, oh, you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have that much love in me to give back.
That's true. It's like cats, you're kind of like, they want your attention sometimes, but the rest of the time, they want to just be left the fuck alone.
Yeah, so nice. You know, they'll jump up on your lap and sit there and let you pet them, and then they'll do that erratic, like, quick jump off that almost hurts. And it's like, what the hell was that? And then one moment later, it's like, I didn't really want to pet you anymore anyway. Thanks.
Yeah. I got tired of petting you.
You say that erratic jump off that almost kind of hurts. Your cats just aren't fat enough, because when they get fat enough, they hurt when they jump. And then my wife's, like, her favorite cat, Peaches, I don't know how, but this cat knows how to put 5 times its own weight into a single paw when she steps on you. And it, like, directly, like, on a single rib so that it just hurts as much as possible.
She's just gotta, or they can be as an asshole like my cat and jump on my lap and then step on my balls. It really hurts.
You have to train them to only do that.
It's when like, you're sit lying, in one place. Why do cats have to walk around as they're getting fat?
Well, if they're gonna put all the weight onto you. You just gotta lie on your stomach and let them give you the cat massage on your back.
Bacon bread.
Yeah, it's the best thing.
I have no idea what was just said. My internet is. It's about that time of the night where my internet decides that it wants to suck because my Wi-Fi is literally the worst.
Why don't you hardwire it? I'm wondering if he even heard that.
Because the cord I have isn't long. The cord I have for it isn't long enough. It can hit the Xbox.
Well, get an extension cord, a cable or something. A joiner, something like that.
Yeah, aren't Ethernet cables pretty cheap?
Yeah. I have a really long one. I don't need it anymore, but I think I had like a 50-footer or something.
I can't hear anything anybody's saying.
His internet's crapping out.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is
fantastic. How's he going to do his review?
This is the CJ podcast because I'm going to talk over them.
Oh, this is always fun. Oh, man.
Hate Wi-Fi.
then get off Wi-Fi. Get a longer cable.
I can't. It's such a pain in the ass too because they put. They drilled a hole in the floor for my cable, which is in my sister's room, by the way. So I'd have to drill another hole in her floor. Actually, I wouldn't. I'd have to put it in the same hole, but I'd have to drill a hole through my ceiling because there's a new ceiling above me, and so the cord was just pushed against the wall, and the ceiling was put, like, right against it, almost pushing the cord flat. So now I have to drill a hole through my ceiling as well.
Fun stuff. You know, they sell something on Amazon called a coupler that you just plug one cord into, and it basically
Yes, I plan on buying one of those. But the issue is that it's just become crap like this past week. Mm. It's been really awful. I've had time to prepare for this.
Yeah, that coupler is only $6, so it's not too pricey.
Well,
CJ.
You know what? I'll buy one when I get the chance. I just spent a lot of money.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have bought so many clothes.
I'm not willing to part with any more of my beautiful leafy greens. Oh, it wasn't that many. It was 2 pair of jeans, 2 pairs of, or 2 shirts, and a pair of shoes.
Indeed. So, Jesse, what kind of internet do you have?
I have lovely internet. It's wonderful. And it's wired.
Yeah, great. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
My Xbox is wired, so I don't have any issues on there.
Helpful.
If it was just 2 foot longer, I could get it to my PC, and then it wouldn't be an issue.
Right. So all you need is like a coupler and a 3 foot cord.
Yeah. Easy solution.
Yeah, but then now I'd have to get a longer cord than that because like it wouldn't be the same cord. Like I'd have to get a 20 foot, probably. No, 10 foot. I don't know.
Why would you need a different cord? Just get the coupler and then another cord so you could just plug it in there,
right?
And then to your computer.
So I need another cord.
Another 20 foot cord.
I thought it's only 2 feet.
Well, another 10 foot, not a 20. Well, it's not that, it's not actually like the Xbox using the cord, it was like 2 foot short to my PC, but the actual distance between the Xbox and the PC is about maybe 5-6 feet.
I get it. Yeah.
So I would probably put the coupler next to the Xbox. So I need another cord that's longer.
Fun.
Yes. Now that we're done talking about this stupid Cat 5 bullshit.
Hey, it's always cat talk, I guess. We go from one cat to another cat.
Moving on from cats to cats.
So did your internet stabilize? Can you hear us better now?
I mean, it's slightly better. And on Mixer, it says that my chat is no longer disconnected, so I think I'm good.
Well, that's nice. A positive.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Also, I see that you now have a fat head, according to the chat.
Yeah, apparently. Fatal Hypes says I have a fat head. So
anybody with an X in their name, I don't trust their opinion, though.
and that weird capitalization.
Yeah, I should say anybody that puts an X where an X wouldn't actually belong in a word. Because some people actually have X in their words, and then that's okay.
So, thanks. Like, the like straight-edge hardcore kids have, like, the X's on the outside of their names.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, XXX, but, Sephiroth, but if Vegeta, your name is Xavier, 420.
It's okay to have an X there.
What about just one interstitial capitalization? So, like, Jesse Rad has, like, a capitalization in the middle of
that's
it,
okay, you know? Because it just means that he's, like, he's separating the two words without actually using a separation. That's okay. Because a lot of usernames don't allow for spaces, and you don't want to put periods or underscores.
Underscores
some
are weird.
Allow for those. Yeah.
Poor Fiddle Hype is just getting roasted right now.
I think
now.
He left already anyway, so who cares?
Probably.
He did. He already backed back out, so who the fuck cares?
So many people drop in and then realize that we're just idiots talking about games. They're like, yeah, never mind.
I don't like video games. I don't want to hear them talk about them.
Video games are for nerds.
I only come here to watch Monster Cat music streams.
Seriously, what is it with Monster Cat and Mixer? That's like the biggest stream constantly, and I don't get it.
I don't get the point of streaming music either, but, you know, whatever.
I stream music all the time. I love it. I also buy vinyl. So I
mean, the streaming music is like using like Twitch or Mixer to stream your music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
not like streaming it on YouTube or something.
Well, because like there's like a lo-fi hip-hop station that is on YouTube. There's a few of them. I'm sure there's even more than that, but there's a couple that I listen to on YouTube. And it's kind of weird being on YouTube and streaming something, but then it shouldn't be. So
yeah, I mean, it gets you a chance to listen to some new stuff that you haven't heard before.
Yeah,
unless
they're
like
every
other station that plays the same five fucking songs every day.
No, it's some weird stuff. And like, I'll sit there and it'll just be background noise while I'm working. And then every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, this is a really good song. And then I'll look at it and be like, what if it's on Spotify? And more than half the time, it's not on Spotify. And Spotify has a lot of music on there.
Yeah.
So
it's just try Amazon Music. I really like it now.
It's turned. No, lately it's been like I've just been linking over to Bandcamp because they go pretty, like, every artist that, instead of having a MySpace page nowadays, they have a Bandcamp page, so you can usually find some pretty obscure stuff on there if that's what you're looking for.
Man, MySpace! I haven't heard that word in quite a while.
Yeah. MySpace. I never made a MySpace.
Who was in your top eight?
Ooh, I don't even remember how it functioned at that point.
Did you leave Tom on your friend list, or did you boot his ass the first chance he got?
I don't really remember. All I remember is like that's how I connected with my wife.
Really?
Yeah, it was like our Tinder.
Wow,
that's awesome. So now you guys met on a dead platform. That's awesome. I mean, it wasn't dead at the time, but...
We didn't really meet there. That's just how we connected.
Oh.
Like, we met IRL a couple of times, and then...
Did you really just say
Totes
IRL?
IRL.
Sure did.
You just killed Joe inside a little bit.
Yeah, the vodka is hitting me right about now.
At least you didn't laugh out loud, though.
Yeah.
Are you drunk?
No.
Aw, I was hoping you
not
were.
Yet.
we don't have enough drunk guests on the show. We need more.
You need to just start putting these on Friday nights instead of Thursday nights because people have to work on Friday.
I'm waiting till I get to episode number 420, and then that's going to be a fun show. Can't wait for that one. from MySpace to your place. Oh my god.
That's pretty funny. Dark Mika.
See, the crazy thing is, you said that you just got to know your wife on MySpace. CJ, I actually did meet my wife on MySpace. That's where we met.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Internet just, dating worked out for you, Joe.
How long did it take for you to put her in your top eight?
Probably after the first date.
Oh, you were quick. You were like immediately like the what people do now on Facebook when they're like after the first date, you're like, I'm in a relationship.
Actually, no. It was a few days later because I first met her. Like we chatted on MySpace a few times and I was supposed to pick up a friend from an airport because I was having a party that weekend and one of my friends was flying in from Canada to show up and hang out with us. And I went up to the airport probably around like 10, 11 o'clock or something at night because it was a late flight in. And I got a message like, hey, my flight got delayed. I'm not going to be showing up to like 6 in the morning, something ridiculous. Yeesh. And I'm just sitting at the airport like, well, looks like I have 6-7 hours to kill. And I just messaged her. I'm like, yeah, I'm just sitting at an airport for the next few hours. I have nothing going on. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing the same. I'm just sitting at home doing nothing with my cousin. I'm like, well,
it'd be even more ironic if she was sitting at an airport at the same time.
But I just mentioned, hey, do you want to like meet up or hang out or do something? And we ended up meeting at a McDonald's. And
and that's when she started your reign of going to 5. She's like, you're going to be there, buddy.
But yeah, we met on MySpace. First time we met each other was in a McDonald's parking lot. 10 years later, we're married.
That sounds very unromantically romantic.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I couldn't put any better than that.
I don't think anything about our relationship has been traditional. Hell, even at our wedding, like, we didn't hire a DJ for the wedding. We hired the band The One-Ups, a video game cover band, played our wedding.
Dang.
That's pretty awesome, though, that they came
in. It was amazing. They actually technically...
And your family was confused as fuck.
Pretty much, yeah. People love the music. They're like, this is really good music. Yeah, well, it's from Tetris, so... Pay a dollar, so, dance with my wife, and get your cake, and sit the hell down.
So what song did you dance to?
The first dance was the legendary theme from Guitaru Man.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, man, you never played Guitaru Man?
No. Ooh, oh, I did not. Yeah. I played Mr. Mosquito.
That's another crazy one. You need to find Guitaru Man either on PS2 or they also released it for the PSP as well.
So a couple of dead systems. I need to go find
yes.
it.
Yes, exactly.
I only have, besides like newer generation consoles and you know the PC, of course, I only have a Super Nintendo.
There's a full game walkthrough on YouTube. Shit, I'm gonna link that.
I wrote it down. Legendary Guitaru Man. Go look up that song.
Indeed. And then the dance with the parents. Like, she danced with her father. I danced with my mom to a Scala's theme from Chrono Trigger.
So, all right.
Yeah, we were. Well, at least I was that guy. She just liked the music, and we're friends with the band. So she's like, yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
I found this this really good song today, and I'm going to put it in the chat as soon as I grab this link. It's like the genre of music that I've been listening to a lot, but it's got a Chrono Trigger song in it. There you go.
Nice.
That's really good. You?
You're giving me so much stuff to bookmark today. It's insane.
I didn't realize Jesse Rad was you in the chat.
Yeah, it's short for Jesse Radonsky.
I did not realize that. I just thought it was ironic. I was like, oh, okay. That's why you asked about you earlier. That makes more sense now. I was like...
CJ, you make my head hurt.
It's kind of funny.
Oh, man. Well, Jesse, I know you've been hanging out with us for close to an hour now. Is there anything in particular that you want to talk about? I know we haven't really had any kind of structure to this chat. It's just kind of been been some bullshitting, which is always fun.
There's not a lot going on. I mean, it's just that time of the year. Like, generally, like, this part of the year is always like an event-filled year, and
it's the calm before the storm. That's what it
is. That's true. By mid-August, when all the big games come out, that's
E3 felt like a storm. And now that E3 is done with, like, to a certain degree, in my field of work, the work never ends, because it's always like there's an event happening. It's like PAX South, and then GDC, and then PAX East, and then Rooster Teeth Expo, and then there's E3, and then there's Gamescom, and then PAX West, and it just continues, right? It's like the PlayStation Experience. And it's literally like a timeline going through the year when I say it like that.
You're missing a very important one.
And then
MAGFest.
MAGFest and MomoCon. And
have you ever been to MAGFest?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you need to change that.
A couple of my colleagues did.
Yeah, you need to change. You got to get to a MAGFest. It's so good.
Where's it at again?
Baltimore Harbor, Maryland. So okay. Basically right by DC.
Yeah, so. It's one of those things where it's always hard to justify unless a client needs me to go and it's sort of paying for the flight.
Just pay for his flight.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of money. You could
bring him in as your escort.
He'll be my enforcer.
Otherwise it's like we're saving money for something else.
MAGFest is my one thing that I make sure to do every year.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's pretty close to you, right? It's not too far away.
About 3-4 hour drive for me.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So, like, that'd be like going to PAX West for me.
Yeah. I'm still hoping to do PAX East one of these days, too.
Yeah, I went to PAX East for my first time last year, and it was a lot of fun. That's a cool spot. I actually ended up meeting... We went to the main menu party, at this like Irish bar, and I ended up chatting with the creator of Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, nice.
And at that point I was really getting into the game, and so when I realized who I was talking to, I was like, boy, I might be a little too drunk to be talking to you right now. It was like the end of the night, and we chatted each other's ears off about video games and metal music until they closed the bar down. It was good.
The only event I want to go to E3, obviously, everybody does, but I really want to go to an RTX one of these days.
Yeah, I've never been to one.
Yes, that's like my number one expo I want to go to.
Yeah, because that's in Austin, right?
Yeah, that's in Austin, Texas.
And Austin is like such a cool place, at least from what I've heard.
Well, it's not a cool place. It's actually a very hot place. You should probably do better research.
Listen, asshole.
Good joke.
Carnage isn't here. We can't have these horrible puns right now.
It's not really a pun. It's more just a joke about the environment.
Oh, man.
That barbecue, though. Whenever I go anywhere, it's always like, what's the best place to eat around here? I need me some food. In L.A., there's this place that I still want to go to. And I'm planning on a trip to L.A. later this year, but it's Trejo's Tacos, and it's Danny Trejo's taco place.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I think you should go to this place called Spanky's. It's a pizza place.
Shakey's. Ooh,
Shakey.
We've had the guys from Loot Interactive on our show a number of times, and their big thing is they always go to Shakey's Pizza. And then they talk about how amazing the pizza is, and then how they are all spending way too much time in the bathroom afterwards.
Oh. Apparently, it kills them. He's described it in great detail, and it's such an awful shit.
Yeah. It makes you shake.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it's Shakey's, because your legs are just, oh my God, it won't stop.
Okay, so I'm not going to go there.
I don't know. It might be worth the experience.
I found a poutine place that looks pretty good, and I'm like, should I trust poutine this far south, but I might try it. It depends on the night.
There's a local hot dog place in my area called Jimmy's Quick Lunch, and I posted a picture of the food I got there 2 days ago or something on Facebook, and a friend was like, poutine? I'm like, no, this isn't poutine. These aren't cheese curds. These are French fries with, like, American cheese and just gravy, and they're amazing, but it's technically not poutine. There's no curds on this.
Yeah, this place uses... Oh, you don't know what poutine is? Poutine.
Google it's, that. It's, poutine is delicious.
I like his spelling better.
Basically, French fries with gravy and cheese curds on them.
Yeah. Whenever you say that, whenever I describe it to somebody, they'd always be like, ew, gross. I'm like, but you like mashed potatoes with cheese on it? Yeah. Well, imagine just frying up French fries instead, which are awesome, and then throwing gravy and like whole like yummy pieces of cheese on top of it. That's awesome. That's not gross.
Maybe they just don't know what it is, and they just judge it based on the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name isn't exactly great.
Well, come on. The name kind of turns me on.
Poutine, same thing.
Poontang.
Yeah. Come on.
One of those Canadian delicacies, though, along with, what are they, all covered chips? Or all dressed? What are they?
All dressed, yeah.
All dressed.
I've never heard of this. Yeah, no.
I've never heard about them until, like, we just got them in our grocery store recently. And it's like, okay, it's another thing I can talk about with my coworkers.
Was it Ruffles, like, all dressed?
Yeah. Tell me about these all-dressed chips. And they'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Ruffles is playing us.
It's the number one flavor in Canada. Allegedly. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, we should probably move on with the show. Jesse, I do want to thank you for taking the time to come join us and chat with us for a while.
Yeah, we didn't even barely talk about video games, but that's totally cool.
Sometimes you don't need to.
We talked about more important things.
Yeah, we talked
like
about...
Giraffage.
We talked about an incredible website, cat shirts, CJ needs a coupler for his internet, poutine, more cats, conventions and shitting in California. I mean, we covered everything you could possibly think of to cover on the show, except video games.
Yeah. It kind of feels like a normal night out for me. We basically hit that whole spectrum when I go out with some friends, and we'll just end up talking about poop for about 15 minutes.
Hey, whatever works, man.
What are we doing?
Quality conversation. Well, let's finish things with a video game question for you.
What's that?
What are you looking forward to this year?
What am I? Battle Chasers Night War.
That looks so cool.
I think that's probably my biggest one. And it, like, not even that, like, it, I have a different coworker who's working on that game. But, like, ever since I saw that game, then, like, it's just, I want it.
I was going to ask if you were the one who was in charge of that one or not.
No, I'm not. But when I was at E3, the meeting room that I was kind of manning up was right next door to the meeting room that my colleague Bryden was at, and that's where Battle Chasers was. So every once in a while, I'd sneak off over there. I'd be like, "What's up, guys? got that Battle Chasers over here? I need me some of that."
So. And you're getting the shakes from that because you need more. You're going through withdrawal.
It comes out like October 22nd, I think. So
I know that's on my watch list on terminals.
Yeah, it's probably one of the bigger ones that's on my list right now. Let's see, what else? I just kind of add games on the fly when I see them. And some have been released and other ones haven't. I just try to do my best not to basically, you know, buy a game that I'm not going to play for a while. I've been waiting on this game called Death's Gambit for a long time. It's like an Adult Swim game, but it's, I've seen it at like so many game conventions, and it's like a side-scrolling, sort of Souls-like, I guess you would call it. I'll throw the, let's see here, I'll throw the Steam store page, link in the chat here. Oh, sorry, you already did it. I had my Steam store page window over that part, so, but yeah. That game looks really cool.
Steam store is easier to use.
True.
You can wishlist it from there, so there you go. But also, Hob sounds pretty cool.
I haven't heard of that one either. I'm guessing these are all like mainly Steam stuff.
I think Hob will be on other ones. It was it's from Runic Games, who did Torchlight. They did Torchlight 1 and 2. So, the game looks kind of cool. I've kind of been into like some of the smaller, weird little indie games lately. And then of course just playing Disgaea 5 on my Switch. So I don't know. Take it as you want.
I need to get that.
Death's Gambit kind of looks similar to Slain.
Yeah, Death's Gambit looks really cool. I saw it's coming to PlayStation, I guess. I wonder if it's coming to Xbox eventually as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
I am looking forward to see. I've always been a console shooter fan. Like, I've never had the coordination for the mouse and keyboard when it comes to twitchy stuff.
Me neither.
So like most of the mouse and keyboard is always like, if I'm playing like a turn-based RPG or something. But the cool thing is like a lot of stuff on PC now supports a controller. Although I probably wouldn't want to play a first-person shooter against somebody on mouse and keyboard with a controller.
No.
So I'm actually one of those people who haven't played the old PUBG. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Oh, I haven't touched it yet either. I was waiting for it to come out on Xbox at this point.
Yeah, me too. I'm pretty stoked on that.
Although apparently there's going to be crossplay.
Yeah, but I would assume that they're not. I don't think they're going to do crossplay. Like, I mean, they're smart enough to just not do crossplay straight up. They would probably.
Yeah, but if there's going to be any section of it at all, it's still a shooter. It doesn't really make sense unless they do like the zombies mode only.
No, I think like what they'll do is they'll silo it off just like how they do how I think they'll do for the first person mode, because like there's obviously a different challenge with being in first person. That's why most people stay in third person. But I'm sure there'll be just another server or something that holds everybody who wants to be.
That'd be cool if there's just like an option, like a server that's based on the crossplay, so if you want that challenge as a console player to try to beat the PC players, you can.
Yeah.
I hope so. I know there's a lot of assholes out there who use like some adapter to use mouse and keyboard on consoles. Oh god. He's having problems again. Oh man. CJ, why can't your shit work?
it did die again.
Oh god. Well, on that note, Jesse, we're going to let you get going. Hopefully, he could get his shit figured out and we can continue the rest of the show. Do you have any final words to wrap this up?
Final words? No, I don't. No, I don't. Check out the links that we put in the chat.
There's been a lot of them. I don't know if they'll all be in the show notes, but we'll
try. Some of them wouldn't make sense.
I guess I'll rep for my work. So, like we are at Evolve. What is it? Evolve _ PR on Twitter. And
I thought we talked about these.
We talked. I know. As I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, I didn't make it. And then, we're usually all just talking about games. And a lot of us are, everybody who works there is, super cool, and we all play video games, and we all play different video games. So, so you get a good perspective based off of what everybody enjoys playing. I think we have pretty much everybody who really runs the whole gambit as far as video game genres go. Somebody enjoys something. So, I'm sort of the mix of like I enjoy RPGs and first-person shooters and action adventure games, and a lot of like fun little indie games, but. I'm not a huge RTS fan or anything like that. I've never really played any sort of massive multiplayer online games.
So. Well, there's plenty of time to change that.
Yeah, yeah, you never know. 10 years from now, I'd be like, I told my wife, I was like, if I ever play WoW, you're allowed to break my computer. Because I always figured it would be like, I've always felt like it'd be like the heroin of my video game addiction.
That might be.
So.
Oh, man. Right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks again to you and everyone at Evolve for being a big part of the games that we cover on this show. With us just breaking 300 episodes, I just want to thank you guys personally, in person, for letting us be a part of the Evolve family and cover so many awesome games on this show.
Yeah, thanks for you know, participating, I guess. We can't always, I mean, it always depends on the amount of keys we have and things like that on what we can delegate, but I feel like we're pretty good about, like, you know, if the people cover our games, then even people who might not have the reach as far as, like, you know, and not everybody's going to be like a Kotaku or something, but it doesn't mean that they don't deserve to also get a code for a game if they put in the time to cover it. So we try.
Oh, we don't deserve anything on this show. We're all horrible.
Yeah, this should probably be your last interaction with our show.
That's what I thought last time.
But we drug you back. We drug you back.
We managed.
Have yourself a good night, Jesse. Thanks again.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff.
That was fun.
Is your internet better now?
Yeah. No, maybe.
Yeah, you got to get that shit figured out.
Yeah, like, there's not a lot I can do about my internet, honestly. It's annoying.
See, at least when I had the internet issues, like, there was something really wrong with
Comcast. Well, there's something wrong with the Wi-Fi. Like, it's the router. It needs change, but that's really expensive. And I'm not doing it.
Use a paycheck and, I don't know.
I'm not going to do seriously, that. No, fuck that.
Just get a coupler and a new cord.
That's what I'd rather do.
$20 tops to get that shit.
I'm not going to fucking go ahead and buy a router and everything. That's expensive as fuck.
Oh, man. So are you ready to talk news? Because we got news to take care of. We got reviews to take care of. We still got a lot of show to go. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Cool. Okay, news of the week. First up, only two new games were added to Xbox backward compatibility this week, but I think they're two fairly solid additions. First up is Epic Mickey 2. Which is pretty neat. Although the game, not as good as the first Epic Mickey, but yeah, good enough, I guess.
Still cool.
And then I was excited about this Sega Vintage Collection, Toe Jam and Earl.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we would see it show up given all the licensing and the rights issues with Toe Jam and Earl, but I'm glad they worked it out. And now we have the last Sega Vintage Collection game on Xbox One. So, yay. Some other Xbox news. The car from Final Fantasy 15 is available in Forza Horizon 3. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I've heard about it.
People who have either played Forza Horizon 3 or Final Fantasy 15 by now should have had a code emailed to them to download the regalia into Forza Horizon 3.
Did you have to play both? Because
I think it's just one or the other.
It might just be if you've played Final Fantasy, because otherwise, like, I didn't get a code for it, but I've never played the Final Fantasy. I've just played Forza Horizon 3.
It's possible they might still be going out, so who knows?
I mean, maybe.
Mirik in chat is asking, when will GTA 6 come out? Whenever they stop milking GTA Online.
They're not going to do that. They're just going to milk GTA 6 online.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I think Rockstar's probably more focused on Red Dead 2 than fucking around with making a sequel to a game that they're milking dry with online. Like, they already said
you say milking, but they are free updates. Yeah. It's not like...
But the shark cards are free.
No, but you can earn the money legitimately.
Really?
I mean, there's a way to do it. You can get $10 million if you complete all the heists with the same team in a row without dying on hard difficulty.
It is very much designed for you to just dump money into it if you want all the cool stuff in there. I mean, I don't know. I'm not into GTA Online. I don't care about it. I did it on the 360.
At one point, I had $127 billion when the money glitch was going around.
Yeah,
I got to keep all the stuff it was I bought glitched. With it, I lost all the money though.
Oh man, yeah. Whatever. I'm more interested in Red Dead 2. I really love the first Red Dead.
At all.
And that's because you're a bad person.
I did not enjoy the first Red Dead.
Let's
I played it for a few hours, and it was like, this is boring.
What other news here? Since we talked about some Square Enix with Final Fantasy 15, they also confirmed that Dragon Quest XI will be coming to the West. No word on a release date, but we know that it's coming. They confirmed that it's being translated to 5 different languages, and it's looking to be a huge game, so I'm sure it'll take a little bit of time to get here. But at least the looks like Europe will be getting the game as well, which is good because Europe got some bad news this week as well. European PlayStation owners are going to be getting a price increase for PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. What's up with that? Is it just equaling out like it? Because I know that the price got increased recently. Was that just the US and now they're upping that one as well? Or
are they just upping it? It hasn't changed recently in America.
Well, it was like some time ago, yeah. But I did remember it changing from like 49 to 59.
Yeah, I don't know if this is to make up for that or if it's just exchange rates or whatever the hell it is, but it's going to be going from 40 euro to 50 for a year. 3 months are going from 15 to 20, and then a single month is going from 6 to 7 euro, and the pricing will go into effect August 31st. So,
all right, so buy your year memberships now. Yeah,
stock up.
Get a few years ready to go.
Yeah, just drop all the money you got. Because EA unveiled an interesting new addition to NBA Live 18 with the complete WNBA League.
Oh, okay. That's actually interesting news rather than... I figured you went into basketball. I was like, okay, what the hell could he possibly say that's interesting about this?
Yeah. WNBA is going to be part of NBA Live 18. It's cool to see the women get a chance in the game. Now let's just hope that the game doesn't suck.
Oh, it's gonna.
Because that's been the biggest problem with NBA Live games. It's just been bad. But a demo is supposed to hit August 11th, so I guess we'll see by then whether or not the game is any good or not.
Yeah, I suppose so.
We'll find out. And then last bit of news that I have is that Nintendo has revealed what certain amiibo are going to unlock in Metroid Samus Returns on the 3DS. The brand new Samus amiibo is going to give you an energy tank in the game, and then after beating the game, it will unlock a Metroid 2 art gallery. The new Metroid amiibo will reveal the location of any nearby Metroid in the game, and then once you beat it, it unlocks a new difficulty mode. Zero Suit Samus gives you another energy tank and then unlocks a sound test once you beat it. And the Smash Brothers Samus amiibo gives you a missile tank and a concept art gallery after you beat the game. I think they're cool additions, especially the in-game unlock stuff, like, oh, extra energy tank or extra missiles, stuff like that. I'm not a big fan of locking, like, art galleries and sound tests and another difficulty behind an amiibo.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of shitty, so...
I think amiibos should have always just stayed as, like, characters and that's it. Just add... like extra shit to the game based off the character. Don't lock actual things behind it.
Like I love my amiibo collection. I think they're cool figures. They have cool uses in some games. I don't like the fact that stuff gets locked behind an amiibo that, you know, hopefully the new Metroid amiibo are going to be easy to get, because if you can't get the two new ones, you're not getting an art gallery and you're not getting the new difficulty mode.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I know the Smash Brothers Samus figure for quite a long time was a very hard to find one. I think it's gotten easier to find, but you know, It's like when the one Fire Emblem game came out, it's like compatible with all these old Fire Emblem amiibo that were ridiculously hard to find. It loses a lot of the luster when they lock features behind an amiibo that is ridiculously rare or hard to find. It's like the Sheik amiibo can unlock some stuff in Breath of the Wild, and Sheik can get like $70 to $100.
Yeah, I would never spend that much on a little figurine.
It is ridiculous, and I don't know. I'm not a fan of it, but what are you going to do? So, any other news you want to talk about?
Well, I'm surprised you didn't mention it. We normally talk about it, but I suppose since we're not reviewing this Telltale game, you didn't care enough.
Oh, what one?
Minecraft Story Mode Season 2, Episode 2 got a release date.
I didn't even hear. When?
That is releasing on August 15th.
Hmm, nice.
So, Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy, which has come out in April, still only has 2 episodes, and this one's getting its second episode after a month. That's just hilarious to me.
Gotta love it. Yeah, I didn't even hear a release date. So,
yeah, I think it just came out the info came out today. So you might have just missed it.
I know that Batman is supposed to be launching next week on the
8th. Yeah, I think. Yep, the 8th. It's only 5 days away.
And I don't think we're going to be covering that one either. I haven't heard anything.
Disappointing. I did cover the first season.
Yeah,
I guess they didn't like Eternal, so they stopped giving us stuff that they're locked dead. Or maybe they realized how bad of an idea it is to cover them episode by episode because nobody wants to fucking hear it yet.
Maybe they just realized how shitty this show is.
Either way,
they're like, yeah, we're not fucking with those guys anymore. Never mind. But yeah, if that's it for news, we might as well move on to the reviews we got this week, huh?
I suppose so. Is it a very packed one, or is it like kind of a light
episode? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 2 of them are emailed in.
All right, and I got 1.
Yeah.
You got 2.
So you're going in the fucking middle, buddy.
All right, that's fine with me. I don't care.
So first game that we're going to talk about tonight is called Shadow Tactics Blade of the Shogun, developed by MiMiMi Productions, published by Datalic Entertainment, released August 1st on Xbox One and PS4 for $49.99. Shadow Tactics is a hardcore tactical stealth game set in Japan around the Edo period. A new shogun seizes power over Japan and enforces nationwide peace. In his battle against conspiracy and rebellion, he recruits 5 specialists with extraordinary skills for assassination, sabotage, and espionage. As it mentioned, this is a tactical stealth game, which in screenshots, it might not give a good impression of what the game is like. It has an isometric view, like a number of turn-based strategy games, except this is played in real time, so it's not like select a square to move to. You're the one controlling the character. What the hell is going on over there?
I think my cats are being fucking stupid.
Nice. But it plays out in real time. You start off controlling one of the ninjas in the game. I forget all the names. I'm terrible with names. And the goal in the introductory mission is to unlock a gate so that waves of attackers can siege a village or whatever the hell the area is. And it gives you a good handle on how the game plays. In the isometric view, stealth is very important, so you have ways to see the view, the sight lines for the enemies, taking cover in bushes, climbing onto rooftops. Elevation plays a role in sight lines and whether or not enemies can see you, or if you're hidden behind something or below a ledge. You eventually do unlock other companions that you can play with that have their own abilities, like the samurai. God, I'm getting all these confused. I'm so bad at this.
It's annoying because I want to know about this game. I'm interested in it.
I heard you typing and I'm trying to figure out, do y'all work for a gaming company? No. Like, what, I say the show's owned by me.
Yeah, the show is owned by Joe. What? My cats are literally being absolutely retarded. They're knocking everything over.
What are they knocking over?
making so much noise doing it? I don't even see what they're doing.
It's really loud, though.
Okay. Anyway, right, the ninja character has access to, like, stones to distract enemy or shuriken that he can throw and kill an enemy with. The shogun in the game has a has like a bottle of alcohol that he could drop to lure an enemy. There's an older character in the game who has a gun that you can shoot people with, which is pretty cool. Of course, ammo is limited, and it's all about trying to make it through the stage that you're presented with. The game is set in mission format, so you play a mission start to finish, and then you can move on to the next one. And you just got to figure out what to do. You can earn different badges if you accomplish certain things in the missions, like, if you get through without alerting anyone, or if you get through without killing anyone unnecessary, or if you just knock everyone out instead of actually killing people.
Hitman style. I like it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different ways to go through areas, and try to figure out unique ways to handle with enemy or to deal with enemies, whether or not you want to kill them all or if you just want to sneak by everybody. So there's a decent amount of replayability in all the levels. There's a nice amount of levels as well. I haven't beaten the game because I'll be honest, I'm freaking terrible at the game. Like the intro,
I'm not surprised.
The intro level to the game, it took me nearly an hour. Jeez. And there's a one of the goals that you could do is to speed run it in 11 minutes.
Wow, you really
and it
sucked
took
at this
me
game.
Almost an hour to beat it.
Maybe it's just really hard though.
They have multiple difficulties as well, so if you're a scrub, you could drop it down and do a little bit better.
I'm assuming you dropped it down.
Clearly, the saving in the game is unique in that everything is basically done through manual saves, but you can quick save at any time. And there's even a counter at the top of the screen that will flash and kind of give you a warning after it's been like a minute or 2 minutes that you haven't saved. Like, hey,
oh, that's really cool.
Like, hey, it's been 2 minutes now. You might want to save because you're probably going to die. You're going
that's great.
To die.
Because, like, games like Mass Effect, where if you forget that it's all, pretty much for the most part, all manual, at least for the first game, you can lose a good 2-3 hours
yeah.
if you really fuck up. Yeah. That's kind of nice that they alert you, like, hey, save, asshole.
Yeah, so I, you know, made sure to save frequently. And then once the mission's over, they actually tell you how many times you saved and how many times you've loaded. So if you're...
That's cool.
If you're playing super cautious, they'll tell you, like, hey, you saved 412 times in this level.
Or try lowering it next time, loser.
They'll tell you how many times you had to reload from a checkpoint, whether it's something that you did wrong and you want to try it over, or if you died and had to reload from there. One of the downsides is if any of your characters dies, it's basically mission over. So it's not like someone goes down and you can run over and save him. It's very much not a straightforward action game. If things get hectic, you could probably, you know, take down one or two enemies that have noticed you and make it through with, you know, just some wounds that you have to heal up. But it's definitely a stealth first kind of game. A lot of fun, really enjoyable, a lot of content in the game. My biggest gripe has to be with the camera control. All the camera control is done, obviously, on the right stick. If you move the analog stick, it kind of just it shifts where the picture, like, it'll move the camera, it'll shift it to the right or to the left or up or down. And then to rotate the camera around you, since it's an isometric view, you have to hold the right trigger and then turn it. And you can also weird. Zoom in and out. It's very hard to get used to. And I was constantly, you know, just moving the camera instead of rotating the camera. And it took a while before it, like, I just got used to the fact that you have to pay attention to how the camera works. Because it's unique. The camera controls are unique. I'll put it that way. they have some really cool achievements in the game as well. Like, they clearly have stuff like accomplish so many badges or complete the game on this difficulty. They have a handful of achievements, usually level specific, of just something weird to do in the level. When I played through the intro level, the third guy that you run into, the guy with the gun, is perched on top of a building, and the goal would be to drop a powder keg in front of the gate and have him shoot it. And I figured out that one of my guys could climb up onto the building that he's on, so I just did it, and that popped an achievement, which I thought was funny, just meeting him up close. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, since this is a real-time game, they do have a more tactical element to it, and I think it's called Shadow Mode, where you can select a character, go into this mode, and then a shadow version of what you're doing, like you can move a character to an area and then attack, or, you know, target an area and then shoot, or throw a rock in a certain area. And then you switch characters and you can do something with that character. So you're basically plotting out what you want these characters to do. And then when you switch to either the last one or whatever you want to do, you can hit the Y button and they'll do the actions that you specified for them to do. So you can have, like, the one guy will throw a rock to distract two people. The other guy will throw the keg onto the ground. And then you'll be in charge of the third guy. You wait for the keg to hit the ground, then you shoot it, blowing open the gate and killing five other people. So it's a cool way to use the multiple characters in one shot while still being a real-time game instead of turn-based.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of content in there. So the $50 price tag is definitely warranted. Like, there's enough in there to keep you busy. It is going to be a tough one for people who are looking for a more straightforward action experience. But if you're looking for a stealth game, or if you're looking for a unique twist on tactics, I think this one's definitely worth checking out. I got to give it a recommended try it.
Awesome, dude.
It is awesome. It is very
this
awesome.
This game, I was actually very interested in this game, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
$50 does seem a little rough to drop on it, but...
Well, if you get into it, it is worth it. So maybe Gamefly it, or see if watch a stream. If it looks like something you'd be interested in, you definitely get your money's worth out of it.
All right.
Mirik is asking, will they make Crash Bandicoot comparable on Xbox? The rumor is that it is coming to Xbox. Most places are saying in like December. Other people are saying it might be a year exclusive.
I would believe the year exclusive.
I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that this is coming to other platforms, because Activision are greedy and they want money.
Definitely. And that game would also work very well on the Switch.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. I'm sure it'll show up on other platforms. Next game to talk about tonight is called Path of Exile, developed and published by Grinding Gear Games. It is available now in kind of a closed beta on Xbox One and I believe PS4 as well. It is releasing August 29th as a free-to-play game, as also on Steam. You're an exile struggling to survive on the dark continent of Rayclast, maybe, as you fight to earn power that will allow you to exact your revenge against those who wronged you. Created by hardcore gamers, Path of Exile is an online action RPG set in a dark fantasy world. This is basically like a free-to-play Diablo-style game. First, I want to say this is a preview. This is not a review. They sent us a beta code to check it out and talk about on the show. It very much plays like, you know, isometric action RPG like Diablo. Free roaming, so you just run around, you find enemies, you hack and slash, you kill them. I didn't play too far in because I kind of want to keep the game fresh. They did confirm that they're going to wipe servers and wipe progress before the game fully launches, so I just kind of messed around in the opening couple of chapters. I think I got up to like level 8 or something. just because I know when it fully releases and I dive back in, I'm not going to want to be like, oh, I did this already.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
You walk around, you kill enemies, you take quests, you run around and you accomplish those quests, and then you turn them in and get rewards and rinse and repeat. The game plays well. It looks really good. I thought it was a nice looking game. There's some weirdness with them. I don't know if it's because of the weapon I had equipped, but because when I started off, I was like using daggers instead of swords or anything. But I would be basically right up on an enemy and attacking, and I was just whiffing. I don't know if I wasn't close enough or if I was just missing. There was no kind of on-screen indicator that I was missing. There was no, like, sound effect of, like, I swung and didn't hit anything. I was just doing the attack animation, and the opponent wasn't getting hit. So I don't know if... maybe it was just the weapon I had. I know in Diablo, if you start attacking things, your character will just walk up to as close as you need to be to hit. And I don't know if I'm spoiled by that or what. The inventory is also annoying. You have an inventory slot, kind of like, have you played Resident Evil 4?
Yes. Well, I haven't played it, but I've seen a lot of it played.
You've seen the inventory of Resident Evil 4, how everything is like cubed off, and then you can hold only in those cubes. It's kind of similar to this, except it's not nearly enough space for all the items that drop, because like Diablo, there's a lot of loot, so shit is constantly dropping from enemies, and there's just not enough room at all. And you aren't able to rotate items either. So you're going to have to... like, I feel like I spent more time fucking around with my inventory trying to make room for stuff than I was going through dungeons sometimes. And it got to the point where I would just ignore stuff that was dropping because I didn't want to mess around with my inventory. It very much feels like the UI and everything... like, it's clearly a PC game that they're trying to make work on a console. Even, like, the upgrades, you get points that you could put into passive abilities, and it's this gigantic board of, you know, put a point into here and you get plus 10 to strength, or put it here and you get a special ability, or put it here and you get a magic bonus, stuff like that. And it just feels like it would have been easier to move around with a mouse instead of trying to use a controller, given some of the angles that the lines would go there. So you would just like move left and then you pass over it and then you hit down and you go too far down and then you hit right and you skip right back out. It's tough trying to find exactly where you want it to be. And I kind of wish it was a free cursor to move around instead of just a highlighted square.
Yeah, I understand that.
It sounds like I didn't enjoy my time, but that is wrong. I had a lot of fun with the game. Like, it is an incredibly fun action RPG, very much in the vein of Diablo or Victor Vran. The combat felt great. Visually, the game looked really good. I enjoyed the fact that, like, town areas kind of played off like an MMO-style thing, where you would see other people running around in the town areas. In the actual instanced areas, there weren't, like, it wasn't a shared thing, so you didn't have to worry about people stealing kills or anything like that. But you can play online with people, which is fun. And if you party up with people, you go to the same instance and you kill the same enemies and you do the same quests. And I'm very interested in this one. Given it's going to be a free-to-play game, I think this is something that everybody should definitely check out when it releases. I don't know if we're going to have a more official review when it comes out, but I know I'm going to spend way too much time on this game. I just hope that they could find a way to make the UI feel better for a console. Or if nothing else, do something about the inventory, because fucking hell, I hate the inventory in this game. It's just frustrating how little space you have, how big some of the items are, and the fact that you can't rotate anything. So, I don't know. it's still a lot of fun. I'm very much looking forward to it, but hopefully they can address some of the weirdness that I'm sure wasn't as odd when it was on PC. So,
yeah, I'm sure people on PC have a perfectly fine time.
True. All right, now it's your turn. Next game to talk about is called Fortnite, developed and published by Epic Games. It released July 25th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $39.99. A deluxe edition is available for $59.99, a super deluxe for $89.99, and a limited edition for $149.99. With an increasing number of loot packs, XP boosts, and other assorted bonuses, the $149.99 limited edition also includes two bonus standard codes that you could give to friends. The game will eventually release as a free-to-play game in 2018, so if you're buying in, you're basically just buying to get the game now. It's paid closed beta, I guess. The storm came without warning. 98% of the world's population vanished. Then came the monsters. Lead the world's remaining heroes in the fight to hold back the storm. Explore the large, destructible world where no two games are ever the same. Build huge forts, craft exotic weapons, find loot, and level up your heroes. Take on the storm with four-player online co-op. Welcome to Epic Games' new action-building game, Fortnite. CJ, you're going to have to talk about this one because I had a separate review code for it, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, that was a sad issue for you. I'm happy that mine worked. I find it kind of weird that mine did and yours didn't.
Well, yours was from Evolve. The one I got was from a separate PR person who sent it to me like after we got the one from Evolve. And okay. I like, Carnage got one from the same person, and his worked fine. I don't know what the story... Like, I redeemed my code, the game downloaded, and then when I went to go play it, it told me I needed to buy a Founders Pack. This other PR person actually gave me a second code for a different edition. I think it was just... The first one might have been Deluxe, the second was Standard, something like that. I put the second code in. It again confirmed that I owned it, went back to the game. You need to buy a Founders Pack. I don't know what is going on.
Yeah, that's really, really weird. Like, my code worked perfectly fine. I'm able to play it. It's a pretty fun game.
Well, tell me about it since I haven't played it.
All right. First thing, honestly, is that it gave me vibes of Sunset Overdrive. And, in just the way it looks, it has that quirkiness and funny feeling to it. Well, I mean, obviously you're not running around and jumping off walls and doing crazy things like that. You still have that cartoonish look with the even the Borderlands style of zooming in on an enemy and then giving the name to it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty fun and, well, not, I would say unique, but not really because it's from two different games. But still, it's a fun twist on it that makes it seem more like a goofy and relaxed game than anything serious. The gameplay is a lot of fun. It's a third-person shooter with tower defense elements. Like, you can build up your bases and then put traps on walls and floors and ceilings in order to defend your base from waves of oncoming, I guess, zombies is what... Or husks, whatever you want to call them. Point is, they're basically zombies, so whatever. They're the storm. And you got to kill all of them and survive the wave so that your shield can expand and you get more area to build more stuff. So it's basically a game of just defend your base so that you can build it better and then defend that better base so you can build it even better.
It sounds a lot kind of like Fortified, but with more building elements to it.
I mean, I can see how you can make that.
Again, this is going off of what you told me, because I spent 3 hours with the Xbox support and they couldn't figure it out. They told me that the license is on my account and active, and I emailed Epic and they just sent me back a form email of like, if try hard booting your console or don't game share. I'm like, motherfucker, I don't game share. I hate game sharing. I'm very outspoken against it, and...
I mean, I use it for its correct purpose, and even mine would work. So,
yeah, that's so weird. So, yeah, is it like Fortnite, or is it like Fortified?
Yeah, it's very much like Fortnite. no, it's similar in the tower aspect, tower defense aspect thing, but it's in the way you build things is completely different. Like, it's almost actually, I would compare it more to like Fallout 4's building system, where you just you pull up the building menu, and then that starts you in like a way that you could just place like walls in specific places, and then you can connect them and move them around. You can build like stairs and stuff like that. It's all free building. Like, you, and then you can even go as far as to edit those so that, like, with a wall, you can edit it, and then you can choose, like, it'll come up as like a 9-block thing, and you can choose to take out squares so that it's like a short wall that's only like 1-3 layer of a wall. Or you can make a door in it or windows by taking out slots in these blocks. And so it's pretty neat. I like the I like the customization. I like the fact that you can change things up. You have different materials that you can use to build them up so that some are more strong than others and some are more useful. Like wood should be a floor because, I mean, you don't really have to protect the floor. But yeah, if you want to protect the wall, you should probably be using metal or bricks. So it just... I like the addition of that stuff, as well as the traps then you place on your walls or ceilings or floor, depending on what kind of traps they are. Like a spike trap would be on the floor so that it could inject into their feet, or a wall dart thing that would like shoot darts out of it that would be on the wall. Or on the ceiling, there's like this electrifying thing so that it'll shoot down electricity on any zombie that comes near it. So there's different traps based off where you want to put them, and it's important to put them in the right spaces in order to defend your place. And it'll tell you like where the direction of zombies are coming from, because there's a little compass on them on the screen that'll show you like north, south, west, whatever, and east. So yeah, a compass basically.
Yeah,
but it'll tell you where the zombies are coming from so that you know which side you need to focus on protecting during that time. The guns are fun to use as well. There's a lot of variety. It's kind of, it feels almost Borderlands style, where there's a lot of different guns that are like just more powerful versions of guns you already have, which I like.
I think it looks really cool. I'm curious to know, is this something that's worth the $40 to buy in, or
do you That's where I'm not 100% sure. I personally believe that at $40 for something that's going to be free at some point, and the $40, which is just the standard edition, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't include enough real bonuses to incentivize you to want to actually put $40 into it. Like, it's just some daily loot pinatas, an exclusive Founders one, but like that kind of stuff would be way cheaper to buy as a microtransaction after.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't.
And then, you know, the price also includes the fact that you get to play this now instead of who knows when in 2018. It could be January 2018, or it could be December 2018. They haven't.
That depends on how much patience you have. Personally, I think it's a fun game. I don't think I'd spend the $40 though if I knew it was coming free later.
No.
It all just depends on your perspective of, like, do you have patience for the game? Do you want to really play it, or are you okay with waiting and having a more polished version, truthfully? Because right now, this is a beta. Like, there's going to be issues like small glitches. I didn't really run into any major issues or even small ones in the time I played, but I'm sure there are some. And I'm sure they're more common in multiplayer, because there's probably more issues with the netcode, and I didn't get to try that because somebody's code didn't want to work. Joe. So I didn't try any multiplayer.
I mean, you could have jumped online with some randoms.
Okay, this is my one complaint. The menus are very fucking complicated. Like, there's too much that it all tries to cram down at you at once. And it's a little overwhelming to start with. I'm sure once you learn everything, it becomes less overwhelming. But at the time being, it's like, geez, okay, I get it. There's like so many different tabs. There's two of them that are basically the same thing. I don't know why they're separated, because it's like I clicked it's like this map that shows all the missions, and then there's one that just shows the missions,
And, like, if you click on the map and you go to that mission, it just brings you to the first page where the mission is anyway. So it's like, why? Hmm. Why is this needed? It's just, it feels like there's a lot going on because there's too many menus to go through.
Well, that could always be stuff that's simplified in the coming months.
I hope so. There's also, it's just everything feels like it's overwhelming because there's too much. I'm sure that it's going to be a game that's just like, once you get into it, it'll seem simple enough. But when you first start, you're going to be like, oh my God, please. Also, you can over-collect very easily in this game. Like, I wound up I believe we got the deluxe edition because I got way more than 6 daily loot things. I got a hell of a lot. So I think that I got the deluxe edition, which made me wind up with like 105 things in my menu by the time I was done opening all the pinatas. And it's like, there's just too much to go through. Like, I'm overwhelmed with this. Like, it's great that we get that many bonuses. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want to complain about getting extra stuff, but oh my God, that's hell to go through.
That's like when I open 30 packs in Fable Fortune and I'm just like, oh my God, all these cards, I don't know what to do.
Exactly. It's like, it's a little overwhelming. I tried to back out halfway through it and it wouldn't let me. You have to finish opening all the packs once you select it.
Oh man.
And I don't know if there's a difference between opening up a pack at an earlier level versus a later level. It didn't seem to really make any difference. I don't think any of the weapons are actually based off level. I think it's just rarity. So you might be perfectly fine to just open all your packs up at the beginning like I did. But I don't know if it's worth waiting and seeing if you can get them better when you level up. So
I guess this begs the question, for minimum of $40, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I honestly don't feel good about giving it anything less than a try, because it's still a really good game. It's just, I don't know if it's worth putting the money in considering it's going to be free. If this was the release price and it was just going to stay at this price, I would give it a recommend to try it, because it's a very fun game. I just don't think that making it free later is a good incentive to want to make you spend the money now.
Yeah, well, I mean, to make up for that, when you're with the free-to-play, I think you're only getting a very, very limited number of items in the, like, I don't know how the game works, so I don't know, like, what's in the packs or if there's heroes that you can unlock. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the details behind it being free either.
I'm sure it'll be a lot like, look at Gigantic, where you could play it as a free-to-play game but only have access to a handful of the heroes. But if you drop the $30 to get the ultimate pack, you get everything. And
I'm thinking just based off of like the bone, like if that was the case, I think they would list that as like a bonus in the additions. I think it's mainly just like we get starter packs and extra stuff. There is a couple of exclusive, like in the deluxe edition, it shows like an exclusive Founder's pistol, but that's just like, that's one pistol.
Yeah.
It's not going to make a difference when there's like so many different other weapons anyway. I think it's more of a case of it's just you get early, very early access to the game.
Maybe.
But I mean, either way, it's still a fun game. It's still a fun game, so I think at $40, it's worth at least trying.
Okay, for the $150 Ultra Super Limited Edition, what do you think?
I absolutely do not think that you should be spending $150 unless you really want to support the game.
Even if you get two extra copies for friends? I think that's a cool edition.
Okay. Actually, okay, what kind of copies do they get, though? Standard. Just the standard?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
to be fair, that's $80 right there.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That alone, it's like with the three copies total for your copy and then theirs, that's 120 out of the 150 right there. Yeah. That makes more sense. I didn't realize that came with the bonus copies. So yeah, actually, that one's.
Let's see, the $150 edition gets you 12 Founders Loot Pinata Packs, 72 Daily Pinata Packs, 15 Immediate Pinata Packs.
Holy shit, that would be so annoying to go through all of those, though.
20 in-game banner icons, 40 XP boosts, 40 giftable boosts for friends, 200 extra account inventory slots, the rare starter hero pack of 8 heroes, the rare starter weapon pack of 4 weapons and a trap, the founder's pistol, 2 exclusive in-game defenders, 2 digital standard editions for friends, an exclusive founder's chat channel, 2 exclusive legendary heroes, 1 exclusive legendary weapon, and 10 inventory backpack.
That's really fucking cool, but I as far as the exclusive chat channel goes, I have no idea how many people are really going to be in that. But still, I mean, that makes it seem more worth it now that I know that the 3 copies, because in that alone is like almost worth that price.
Who knows? If I ever decide that maybe I'll just try getting it myself, maybe I'll go with that one. Xbox.
Then you can gift it to friends.
When I talk to the people at Xbox support, they're like, well, what you could try doing is buying the pack yourself, and then we can refund it from here, but maintain your license so that you won't lose access to it. I'm like, listen, if I had the $40 to $150, whatever, I might. But given the fact that I've now used 2 codes and I still can't access my shit, I don't think I want to drop the money in case I still can't access my shit.
Yeah, but at least then if they gave you the refund, like, it doesn't matter. It was just worth it a try.
But that would suck if I drop the money and, like, shit's still not working. Like, it's officially been over a week, and I don't have access to anything from those.
I wonder if it's glitched on your account to the point to where you just can't get access to that game until, kind of like No Pulse was having issues with a game like 2 months ago from PlayStation Plus.
Maybe.
That would be fucked up.
I don't know. It's stupid. So stupid. Anyway, we got 2 more games to talk about, and both of these reviews are being sent to us from our friend Greg Middleton. The first one to talk about is called Theseus, developed and published by Forge Reply. It released July 26th for PlayStation VR for $19.99. Theseus is an immersive VR experience that offers a new take on the myth of the Minotaur and the Labyrinth. Inspired by the ancient Greek myth, take on the role of Theseus as you explore the labyrinth of the invulnerable Minotaur, using your cunning and stealth to find your way out of the darkness. This is what Greg has to say. Is this the new way to play platform games? Well, after finishing Theseus on PSVR, I will say it's a good start that's heading in the right direction. This adventure is a fine experience, but with so much potential and excitement for what can follow for the format. As soon as the game starts, you're walking through a river of blood. The level of immersion is impressive with your view behind the character in a traditional third-person perspective. This does change to a dynamic camera view while playing, which can feel a little odd at times, but as soon as it goes back to the third-person mode, you feel much more involved in the environment. Within 10 to 15 minutes, I did get a slight movement in the stomach. I think it was just me not being used to this new playstyle in VR, and this feeling quickly left me as I became more immersed and also cautious, at the dark and creepy atmosphere this labyrinth showed me. So the gameplay is simple. Move your character through the maze with many button prompts to climb and crawl. Eventually, you gain your first weapon, which is a flaming torch. I really would have preferred a sword, but knew that would come much later. There is one really memorable scene where I was walking down a dark corridor with the torch only lighting a few feet in front of me. You then start hearing sounds of crawling feet. My tension level was rising fast, as I am not a fan of horror games, especially in VR. I know what you're thinking, but in VR, it's a bit too close for comfort for me. You then see in the darkness eyes appearing and getting closer. Yep, you guessed it, giant spiders. You have to get to the end of the passage while scaring the spiders away with your flaming torch. This moment was great and really worked well in VR. Another aspect of the game that works well in VR is the Minotaur. When he appears on screen, it is amazing, particularly when its body leans over the player, sniffs the air, inspects the area. Having such a beast in VR was a really cool experience. Now come the issues I had with the game. The graphics could have had a little more polish, and the controls felt very clunky. I did experience some game freezing and even game breaking moments. The freeze came from trying to climb a rock, and my character just froze in midair. The buttons were unresponsive, and I waited maybe 5 to 10 seconds, and then suddenly he did the animation to climb. Very weird. The game did break near the end as my character vanished from the virtual world with enemies looking for me in the area. I had to close the game and reopen. Hopefully there will be an update to fix these issues I encountered. The positives are the sound, which is fantastic and really caters to this tense environment. The moments with the Minotaur and the third-person camera are really immersive in VR. But overall, the rest of the game didn't benefit from VR as much as I would have liked. The game is short and can be completed in about 2 to 3 hours. So do I recommend it? The game is fine. It's had its moments of tension and good VR, but I feel the price is steep for what I would call a tech demo. Is this testing the water for a potential full game? Maybe, and I would happily try more games in this style, as this shows that third-person games can work in VR. Buy it if you like the myth, but everyone else hoping for a PSVR God of War experience will have to wait a little longer. I actually put a little bit of time in this one myself earlier today, and I thought visually the game was fine. I know things aren't going to look as insane in VR as they do in normal games. I thought it was a nice-looking setting. The Minotaur in particular was just an awesome, gigantic beast. It's kind of like the Colossi in Shadow of the Colossus. Just a gigantic Minotaur stomping through the maze, and I did play the spider section he was talking about as well. I died there, and then I'm like, yeah, I need a break.
Seems creepy.
It was creepy as hell, because I didn't expect it. It was just like pitch black, except for me holding a torch. And then you would see these white little specks of like, oh, fuck me. I thought it was a lot of fun, though. I agree that the controls are kind of weird. The static camera, it's kind of like the old Resident Evil games where it's just perched up in a corner of a room or something. And you run through an area, and when the scene switches to something else, it throws you off because you're running in a complete opposite direction of which way you're holding the thumbstick. Thankfully, if you're holding it, you just continue in that direction until you let go. So you're not running from one area back to the other, back to the area, back to the other. Clearly, I didn't get as far in the game as he did, but I think $20 for a 3-hour VR experience isn't that bad. The VR, we know the VR tax is real. Like, yeah. Everyone knows the VR tax is a thing. My time with the game I thought was really solid. I thought it was a good looking game, so I'd give it a try it as well. I think it's pretty cool. And then the final game to talk about is called Smashbox Arena, developed by Big Box VR, published by Arcact VR. I think I said that right. It released July 25th on PlayStation VR for $29.99, previously available on Steam for Vive and the Rift for $19.99. Smashbox Arena is a high-octane hybrid of fast-action dodgeball and the arcade-style mayhem of insane physics-driven power-ups. Dive for cover, dodge and deflect and volley enemy shots in stylish 360-degree environments. Retaliate with wicked power-up combos and perfectly calculated teleports. Take out opponents in single-player mode or by teaming up with humorous characters, friends, or players from around the world in crushing 3v3 team matchups. Greg has this to say. Smashbox Arena is a team-based action game with insane physics-driven power-ups. I didn't know what to expect booting up Smashbox Arena. I knew it was an online dodgeball game of sorts with a group of gamers online that were very excited about the release on PSVR and that this game was well received on Steam. What surprised me while playing the tutorial was the interesting choice of art design and how precise the tracking was. Once the extremely quick and informative tutorial was over, I was back at the main menu with the choice of either single-player campaign or multiplayer, so I jumped straight into the multiplayer and then proceeded to spend the next 2 hours addicted and determined to beat the rival team. The game is fast, fun, and competitive. It plays so well with the move button to teleport, travel, and the trigger to pick up orbs and weapons to fire at the enemies within the arena. It all comes together as a game that's just very fun to play and doesn't take itself seriously. There are many different power-ups or pickups aside from the colored orbs, like grenades, heat-seeking missiles, and even a huge boulder that will roll around the level. Level design is also varied with different locations like a space station or a fort in the middle of the forest. One of my favorite features in the game is the overhead map view when you get knocked out or waiting for the next round to start. It lets you spectate the ongoing match and move the map around freely. Upon losing most of my matches, because I'm not that great yet, I noticed how at the end there is a podium setup where winners shoot confetti at the losers. This was a nice but small touch. I was curious to see how active the online community is with a title like this. I do feel it's a little pricey for the type of game, and do worry how easy it's going to be to find an online match within the next few months. However, when I was playing for review, I entered an online match from the main menu in a matter of seconds, so at the moment it's very active. I do find it odd that I'm still not interested in the single-player mode that much because of how much fun the online is, and that knowing you're playing against real people online, this is where I feel I will spend most of my time. I don't think this is the killer app for PSVR that a lot of people are waiting for. I do feel it's a fun game with fine art, tactical gameplay, and an addictive online mode. Yes, it has a forgettable single-player mode and the possible players online issue that could arise later due to what I feel is a slightly high price for the game. I would say to try this game before buying if you can, and if you like it, and get a group of friends together who have PSVR and play online for great gaming session. This is another game that I put way too much time into recently. I wasn't sure what to expect going in. I will say it's nice to have someone else who can do PSVR games, given how much other stuff I cover on the show. But I did pick it up myself and wanted to try it out since I was reading the review tonight, and it's fun as hell. It's just, you know, you pick up a ball with your trigger and then you shoot it at enemies. He mentioned he didn't really do the story mode. That's basically all I did. The story mode isn't anything super special. You just go match to match to match against different enemies and try to win. Your AI partners in the story mode are fucking stupid. I'll say that. Like, the first time you play through a level, they're going to be gone nearly right away. If you lose once or twice and you have to rematch it, they'll get better and they'll help you win.
But, so is it like reactive AI where it's like the better or the worse you do, the better they get?
Maybe. Either that or they're just the AI is so weird that some matches they're fucking stupid and other matches they're pretty decent. I agree the $30 feels kind of high for it. I think the $20 that it is on Steam would have been a lot better. I don't know if the extra resources to get a PSVR version going required the higher price tag, but I feel bad because I think it's going to hurt the sales for the game.
Probably.
But if you've got the $30 to drop on it, I think it's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to jump online and play some more later on. So,
awesome.
Thank you to Greg for those two PSVR reviews. He's been a big help, and he's doing some solid reviews, too.
Let's all give a round of applause to Greg.
I like him. Thanks, Greg. You good peoples. But that is it for tonight. I don't have anything else to talk about. Same. I guess having a show under 3 hours will be nice, given the last few. And I'm sure Tuesday's show is going to be a long one as well. Our next episode is actually going to have an interview with one of the guys behind the game Chroma Gun that's going to be hitting Xbox later on this month. That was a fun chat I had with him. CJ, I think you're going to be reviewing it for us as well, yes?
Yeah, correct. So it's funny that I wasn't there, but I'm...
I don't think you would have been awake for that anyway. It was at like 9 in the morning.
Yeah, no, probably not.
So, but that is it for tonight. Music this episode. Chris Taylor the other week mentioned an album that his friend Eric WK put out called Alberto fucking Gonzalez.
Is that guy related to Andrew?
No. Alberto Gonzalez is a composer that was involved with the game Maldita Castilla EX that's on Xbox, or Cursed Castilla, as it just released on the Nintendo 3DS. Well, his friend Eric put together a tribute album to him, so I'm going to play a couple of songs from that.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's it. CJ, final words.
For the final words, I'm going to leave you with a good bit of SML advice. If you ever get stung by a jellyfish, pee on it. The jellyfish, not the injury.
Oh.
Show it who's the boss.
You're a fucking idiot.